Good evening. It's my third light bite that I have done, and I still find it very daunting having all these eyes fixed on me, waiting to hear what I'm going to say. But when I find when I do these light bites, I learn a huge amount from all the research that I have to do. I wasn't sure what to speak about today. I had lots of ideas, most of them bad ideas, but I have tried to find something a little bit different to talk about. We're heading toward that time of year when my kids and everyone else's kids will be rehearsing their nativity play. They'll be learning Christmas songs, and they may visit one or two Santas. And it has occurred to me that all these things they participate in are full of errors. So I'm going to do the middle-aged dad thing and have a good old rant. So the nativity play that us parents have to enjoy, goes something like this. Heavily pregnant Mary and Joseph travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem on a donkey. In Bethlehem, they check out the local inns or some kind of motels, but there is no room in maybe two of them, and they get turned away. But on the third inn, there it still isn't room, but there's a barn somewhere, probably in some field at the back. That same night, out pops Jesus, and before you know it, a load of shepherds and three kings descend upon that little barn. Then everyone sings about how Jesus no crying he makes, and everyone lives happily ever after, the end. I think that's about it in a nutshell. But how much of all that is true? How many things have crept in there that are questionable? So let's start with the donkey. Is there a donkey? So Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a journey of about 80 miles. The Bible makes no mention of how they traveled, and it certainly makes no mention of a donkey. There is no donkey in the story. It is too great a distance for a little donkey on a dusty road. Or could there be a donkey? A little bit more research, and it turns out that according to the, and these are big words here, the Proto-Evangelium of James, which is an apocryphal gospel, which is a narrative concerning the birth and upbringing of Mary and includes the birth of Jesus, says that Mary traveled on an ass. So the apocryphal gospels, we do not take them to be an entirely reliable source. However, it does give credence to there being a donkey. I will be honest, when writing this talk, I was looking forward to telling you all that there was no donkey. So you can imagine my disappointment when I found out that it's possible there really was a donkey in the story. But we cannot say for sure there was a donkey, and we cannot say for sure that there wasn't a donkey. But let's quickly move on to the inn. Nativity plays across the land give us the impression that Mary and Joseph visited one or more commercial inns, like a motel, or as my dad likes to put it, the local village pub. But the Bible says nothing of a commercial inn, even less so of a village pub. Sorry, Dad. A better translation of the biblical word here would be guest room. It was probably the home of a relative of Joseph, but many other people were doing what Mary and Joseph were doing, so they found the guest room was already full. Then we have the innkeepers, some of which turned Mary and Joseph away completely. In Luke, it does mention inns, as in plural, being full, but no mention of innkeepers and no mention of them being turned away. Then we have this ridiculous scenario of a barn. A pregnant woman sent to a barn in the middle of a cold field in the middle of the night to give birth. I mean, it's a bit silly, isn't it? The Bible mentions a manger, but not a stable or barn. Houses then would have had an upper level where the family and guests slept. That's the bit that would have been full. And a lower level where the animals would come in at night when it was cold or to shelter from the elements. Often in this downstairs room, food was also prepared and possibly eaten. And in this room, there would have been a manger or two, which is a feeding trough for the animals for when they were brought in. So this is the most likely thing, most likely that what the Bible referred to when it mentions the manger. But this room was a fully functioning room in the house itself, certainly not a barn. And no animals either. I really don't think those hosting Mary and Joseph would have been so stupid as to force a woman to give birth surrounded by a load of animals. I'm sure a good host would have made other arrangements for those animals. And Jesus was almost certainly not born the night they got there either. Luke says that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, which implies sometime after when they arrived. But what about the three kings? The number three has become traditional in our culture because of the three gifts. But other cultures, such as in the Eastern Church culture, they have 12 of them. What we do know is that we don't know how many of them there were, except that there were more than one. But they were not kings. They were wise men, astrologers, astronomers, that kind of thing, but not kings. And they almost certainly arrived a considerable amount of time after Jesus' birth. Herod obviously ordered the killing of children under the age of two, if they had arrived just after he was born. I suspect Herod wouldn't have made that order. In fact, I wonder if Jesus was old enough to be walking or even talking when the Magi came. And finally, the story often ends with the children singing a Christmas carol. But even here we find errors. We three kings of Orient are, or see him lying on a bed of straw, drafty stable with an open door. And of course we have the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Jesus wept as an adult, and yet we are made to believe he didn't even cry as a newborn baby. I hope I haven't ruined all these Christmas carols for you now. Other than that, everything else in the story is accurate. Oh, except for Santa. That's right, Santa is not part of the Christmas story. And what's worse, he is a terrible representative of Christmas. Christmas should be about Christ, not Santa. But first, let me briefly talk about where Santa lives. Is it in the North Pole or in Lapland? Now, being half Finnish, I say he comes from Lapland in Finland. But actually, St. Nicholas, known in Dutch as Sinterklaas, who Santa is essentially based on, lived in what is now Turkey. But that's neither here nor there. Now, I discovered that there exists a board game titled Santa versus Jesus, where two teams, Santa and Jesus, compete to win as many believers as possible. A pretty interesting concept. But let us look at Santa versus Jesus. Santa comes at Christmas and then deserts us for an entire year. Christ came and he remains us for eternity. Santa's gifts break, they perish, or we soon grow too old for the gifts. Christ's gift never diminishes, never weakens, it only gets better with time. Santa is not real, Christ is. Santa did not die for us, Christ did. But my biggest gripe about Santa is that he demands goodness from us. Have you been a good little boy or girl, I hear every year. Children are made to believe that they will only receive the gift if they have been good. But Christ tells us that we receive his gift because he loves us, not because we are good. So maybe it's time to stop saying to our children, have you been good? Have you been worthy of receiving a Christmas present? We are not worthy of receiving the gift of eternal life through Christ, and yet we receive it. So what right do we have to demand that our children be worthy of Christmas gifts? In my opinion, it sends them the wrong message about Christmas and about our Saviour. I'm not saying we don't demand goodness from our children, but maybe the message at Christmas is one of love, not discipline, giving to them because we love them, not because they obey. The other day I asked my children, what do they need to do to receive presents at Christmas? They both responded without hesitation, be good. I told them they were wrong. So my daughter Lydia logically asked, be bad? And of course, we have all sinned, we have all been bad, but Christ came to put all of that right, and all we need to do is accept that gift that is given to us. Thank you.